Please rise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this Easter Sunday is taken out of the Gospel according to the Evangelist Luke, from chapter 23, verse 50, to chapter 24, verse 3. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised again for our justification, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. We make preparations every day. Some simple and mundane, others more complex. We arise from our beds every day and we prepare for the day by washing, dressing, brushing our teeth, and preparing our hair. We prepare to drive our vehicles by first taking the keys in hand before getting into the vehicle. We prepare for the unexpected by putting on our seatbelts. In many cases, we think very little about these preparations. They are a matter of habit, really. In the Word of God before us this morning, we're told that the Jews observed a day of preparation. For what did they prepare on that day? For the Jews, every Friday might well be considered a day of preparation. Since God had commanded the Jews not to labor on the Sabbath day, they would have to prepare for that day in advance. And thus, even as when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they gathered twice as much manna the day before the Sabbath, so they would need to gather extra water and other necessities on the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Friday. But that wasn't the only preparation that they were to make. They were also to prepare their hearts for the Sabbath, for the hearing of God's word. This morning we'll take a moment to look at the preparations that were made on one particular preparation day. We'll see how Joseph and Nicodemus, the religious leaders and the women who followed Jesus from Galilee, used this particular preparation day. But most importantly, we will marvel at what our God accomplished on that preparation day. We begin with a prayer. Sanctify us for your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. When we take a look at the burial of Jesus, it seems as if Jesus' death found most of his disciples unprepared. Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning and died about 6 hours later, around 3 in the afternoon. The only disciple said to have been present there on Calvary was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Most think the Apostle John. We might be tempted to stand in judgment of them, but we too ourselves at times are also absent, even invisible, when we ought to stand up for our Lord. We justify it as self-preservation, but it's really just sin. It must have been shortly after Jesus' death that the Jewish leaders asked Pontius Pilate that the legs of the crucified men be broken to speed death. They also asked that the body of Jesus and of the two men crucified with him be taken away. And they did this for two reasons. The law given through Moses forbade that bodies be left out overnight, and because it was the preparation day. And the next day was a special Sabbath during the festival of unleavened bread. The bodies of the two criminals were probably tossed into a pit or unmarked grave. The same thing might have happened to the body of the Lord Jesus, except that God moved a secret disciple, a rich man, to step into the light and to ask for the body of Jesus. Now behold, there was a rich man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. You recall that all of Jesus' disciples had promised that they would die with Jesus before they denied him. So which of those disciples who made that promise came forward to obtain Jesus' body? Wasn't Peter or Andrew? Wasn't James or John? In fact, it wasn't any of those disciples. It was a man named Joseph, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus. He was a member of the high Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, hailing from a city called Arimathea. He was a council member, but he did not consent with their decision or their actions condemning Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea risked his reputation and went to Pontius Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Joseph purchased linen and took down the body of Jesus. He was aided by another secret disciple, but he and his name was Nicodemus. Which brings us to the question, how did Joseph and Nicodemus use the day of preparation? Well, they used at least the last remaining hours of the day of preparation, hurriedly preparing the body of Jesus for burial. They placed it in Joseph's own new tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock, in which no other corpse had been or was laying. And they laid it there because of its close proximity to Calvary. It was there they worked in the late afternoon to wrap Jesus' body in strips of linen, along with a mixture of myrrh and aloes. They worked quickly to bury the body of Jesus in perhaps less than 2 hours. They hurried because it was the preparation day and the Sabbath drew near. And God forbade any work on the Sabbath. Joseph and Nicodemus used the preparation day to prepare Jesus' body for its rest in the tomb. How did the rest of the councilmen or Sanhedrin use the day of preparation? Well, they had a full day too, preparing for Jesus' death. They convened an illegal proceeding during the night and, based on false witnesses, condemned Jesus. They crossed the T's and dotted the I's the next morning, and they spent the day following Jesus from Pilate to Herod, back to Pilate again, accusing him of different things and calling for his death. They incited a mob, and they spent some of the remainder of the preparation day on Calvary, mocking Jesus as he died. The religious leaders didn't spend much time in godly preparation for the Sabbath. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Joseph and Nicodemus weren't the only ones present there that preparation day. It was also a group of women who had followed Jesus from Galilee. And they too spent some of that time on Calvary watching their Lord suffer and die. They watched as Joseph took down the body, and they followed to the tomb. They saw how Joseph and Nicodemus began the process of embalming the body. They saw where and how the body was laid. It must have been a heartbreaking and emotionally exhausting day for those women. Still, they returned, according to Scripture, to the places they were staying, and they prepared spices, aromatic, fragrant herbs, probably in a dried form, and fragrant oils, sweet-smelling ointments, with which they planned to care for the body of Jesus. It was a warm climate, and corpses broke down quickly and began to stink. They figured Jesus' body would be no different. So these women spent the preparation day watching the Savior die and then preparing to care for his corpse. It was a labor of love. So does that about cover all the activity that took place on the preparation day? Well, it covers at least most of the human activity that took place on the preparation day, the day that we call Good Friday. What did you do on Good Friday? Did you prepare? Was it just like any other day? Did we go about our lives following the desires of our hearts? What about Saturday? Did we set aside some time to prepare for worship today? Did we examine our hearts in preparation for the supper of the Lord? But wait, there was one other person that was making preparations that day. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had said, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Even though few noticed or understood what was happening, our gracious God was also working on that preparation day. He was finishing up a plan that was designed by his love in eternity. A plan that involved sending his Son into the human race to keep and fulfill the demands of his own law and to provide perfect righteousness for humankind. It was a plan that required that his Son make the once-for-all sacrifice for every human sin. And so while Joseph and Nicodemus made their plans, and the religious leaders made their plans and poured out hateful words, while the women watched with broken hearts, the Son of God, from the darkness of the preparation day, certified the job complete. "It is finished," he said. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not charging their trespasses to them. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No one noticed, but in the latter hours of that preparation day, our adoption papers were written up to make us children of God and possessors of an eternal inheritance. It awaited one final verification. Call it a stamp of approval, a receipt, if you will. While almost everyone rested on the Sabbath, God prepared to present his gift to the world. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In the early morning hours of the first day of the week, the day we know as Sunday, God dispatched an angel to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. The Gospel of Luke doesn't mention it, but that angel descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb and sat on it. And God presented his gift, eons in the making, to the world. It is an empty tomb, which stands forever the proof that our sins are forgiven and we have been reconciled to God. Joseph and Nicodemus prepared Jesus' body to rest in the tomb, but he didn't stay there. He arose from death. The religious leaders even prepared for this eventuality, having the tomb sealed on the Sabbath and guarded by soldiers. They stopped nothing. The angel not only opened the door, he did so to reveal that Christ was already gone. Christ had arisen. And the women came ready to finish embalming a corpse and found that their preparations were for nothing. There was no body to be embalmed. Were they disappointed? If they were, their disappointment didn't last long, for they saw a living Jesus in need of no embalming. Their preparations had been for nothing. Oh well, what's the old saying? The best laid plans of mice and men? No. Let's try another one. Man proposes, man prepares, God disposes, he decides. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let us therefore joyfully prepare our hearts each and every day and for every day of worship, knowing the tomb is empty. Jesus isn't there. Moreover, when we sorrowfully confess our sins, let us look again with joy to the empty tomb and trust the completed work of Christ. And then let us live each day in hope, as if he died for us yesterday, rose again today, and is coming back tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.